Okay, so we've done it. Well, we've survived one game week of the season. Welcome back to the FPL pod, where we're going to look back on it all. And don't worry, if you had a disastrous first game week, we're going to sort it all out for you. A reminder, if you haven't joined the FPL pod mini league, before we go any further, the code is Q0HV1Q. Still waiting for plenty of you to join us in there, so looking forward to that. Those laughs that you just heard were, of course, the laughs of Sam Bonfield and Julian Laurent. We will get into our teams in just a moment. And Jules had a better week again than all of us, so he's going to be absolutely unbearable. Some things never change.
I love this game.
We're going to try and round up the game week, right, and talk about the key talking points. But inevitably, our own game week scores are going to come up, I think, because it's just inevitable, isn't it? Shall we start with the fact that the most popular captains, Haaland and Bruno, both blanked. Welcome back, FPL, Sam.
I know. And do you know what's really annoying is that after I got off this, and I said to you guys last week, I was really close to the Bruno captain and I pondered for ages. And then on Friday afternoon, I was like, do you know what? I'm going to say something I'm going to regret now. Maybe Jules is right. Maybe the right answer is actually to captain João Pedro. And then I moved it to João Pedro and it stayed there for about 4 or 5 hours on Friday afternoon. And then right at the last minute, about half an hour before the deadline, I was like, I can't do it. I'm moving back to Haaland. And I massively regretted it all weekend. And as soon as I did it, I was like, I've done the wrong thing here. I know I have. And alas, I did. So yeah, the thing is, when the captains, the major captains blank like that, then you know that it's going to be a disappointing game week, because obviously the majority of the points usually come out of the captain. So really low scoring one this time around, as far as game week ones go. But you know, at least everyone was in the same boat, I suppose, apart from certain Frenchmen.
That's how I feel. When it happens with, take Jules out of the equation. When it happens with someone like Haaland, you do kind of think, okay, it's not like I've gone with, I don't know, Mbeumo and Haaland's gone off and I've missed out on loads of points. And the fact, I think it made it better, didn't it, that we watched Bruno blank in the early game. And then, although you're thinking, great, there's a real advantage if Haaland goes off, at least you felt better knowing that the other captain hadn't done as well. But of course, some people get lucky. Some people captain a player in the last game of the game week to shoot them up the ranks. And those people are people like you, Jules.
I mean, it's a skill. You know, it's an absolute skill to be there.
I'm joking.
No, but the thing is, and we can say it's a bit of luck. And of course, again, Haaland has two massive chances.
So much of this game is around luck, isn't it? Like, let's be honest.
But one thing that's true, though, and to be fair, it's true in FPL and it's true in normal football life, is I think the form that a player is in, which is very obvious, I think matters. And we said last week that João Pedro had been exceptional in pre-season for Chelsea, that the system with two tens behind him in Palmer and Rodgers suited him really well, that he had a free summer because he was not called up by Brazil for the World Cup. And when you think of Haaland, who had not played a single second of preseason matches until the Community Shield, where he was not good, there was no momentum there for him, no form. Similar to Bruno, who obviously came back late to United after the World Cup with Portugal and didn't really do that well in the little bit of preseason that he played. And then you arrived and that's it. And so I think as much as luck as he was a bit, because Haaland missed some chances and Bruno was maybe not that great like United on the day, I thought the form of João Pedro meant that for a game like that against Fulham, where you knew Fulham were going to try to play and there would be a lot of space to attack in for Chelsea, that João Pedro was a good pick.
The Chelsea attack in general, as Jules mentioned there with the two tens behind, it looks exciting, Sam. And we spent the whole pre-season saying Pedro was the best option. I think we were proven right, but there's all of a sudden potentially a case to have more than one Chelsea attacker.
Yeah, I think we already knew that they were probably going to be quite good with that front three, with João Pedro, with Morgan Rodgers now and Cole Palmer. And particularly as Cole Palmer and João Pedro had the summer off, hadn't been to the World Cup, it looked like that they might start the season well. But it was a fixture that in a London derby, we kind of weren't sure how that might go. We probably thought Chelsea would still win it, but it was a bit more difficult to call. And then the next two matches that Chelsea have against Brighton, who started the season incredibly well, and then Arsenal, who are, well, Arsenal, the first three just didn't look that attractive for the double up. Whereas when you get beyond that into game week four, and then you've got the whole Brentford, Bournemouth, Everton, Spurs run of fixtures, even Manchester United, Sunderland and Leeds that follow that, that feels like the time to invest in an extra Chelsea attacker. So as much as my finger was kind of on the trigger for wanting to get another Chelsea player this week, I think the sensible part of my brain, knowing it's Brighton and then Arsenal goes, just hold that enthusiasm for a little bit, give it another couple of weeks, and then you'll know for sure whether you want to pay the 9.5 for Cole Palmer or the 7.5 for Morgan Rodgers, or get all three of them.
I bet you're going to double up, aren't you, Jules? Because you had Rodgers in your team for a lot of preseason. I feel like it won't take you long to get him in.
Yeah, that's true. Although you two swayed me of moving him out for Brian Mbeumo, which I did, to be fair, and also attracted by the fact that United had Hull and Ipswich in the first two game weeks. So you thought this, you know, this is easy, really, easy as a pick to make it. So I did, and now I'm just going to wait for this Ipswich game to see what Mbeumo does with United. And also, I agree with Sam on Brighton and Arsenal. For Chelsea, it's a bit tough. And then after that, I expect a lot of the managers after the Arsenal-Chelsea game, which is game week three, to probably go for that second Chelsea attacker. And then it's whether you have the budget for Palmer. Palmer is the best choice here. There's no doubt. He was far more involved. He will always be. Every time somebody has the ball, they look for Palmer first. Rodgers is more on the periphery, probably, after Palmer and Joao Pedro. So I would go, if we have the budget, I would go for Palmer every single time, more than Rodgers. But Rodgers would be a great kind of replacement. If you can't get to the 9.5 of Palmer, then 7.5, you've got Rodgers. He's very good as well, but I expect Palmer to score more points, to have a better season than Rodgers in a different way. But it might not be possible for everyone to get Palmer and Joao Pedro in the team.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Also, like, if you've got a Bruno and you've got Haaland as well, finding that money for Palmer is very expensive. But as you mentioned there, that I think there's going to be, particularly after these Man United fixtures, Praz was on the Fantasy TV show last week saying, like, he's not going to own Haaland and Bruno all the time to enable him to own these other players. And I think there could be a fixture swing, or there is a fixture swing and a bit of a change around as early as game week three. And you mentioned the Arsenal-Chelsea fixture then, actually, Jules. I wanted to know, as an Arsenal man, what your thoughts were on Arsenal on Friday night. I know they had the home game against a newly promoted team, et cetera, but I mean, we spent a lot of preseason worrying that certain players weren't going to start, the likes of Saka, Rice. They did. Solis also returned. Odegaard returned. I mean, it was a good night for us FPL owners, but where are we left thinking our investment should be with Mikel Arteta's side, I suppose, is the question.
Yeah, I was at the game. I thought they were outstanding. Obviously, Coventry were really poor, and I think it'd be a battle for them to stay up, which we expected. But yeah, I don't think we expected Arsenal to maybe be that sharp, although they played well against City in the Community Shield the weekend before. Odegaard outstanding. Again, that form that we mentioned for Joao Pedro, Odegaard was the best player in the Community Shield. He was the best player again 5 days later in this game. And when he's in that kind of form, I think that makes the whole Arsenal team kind of click. Then you've got a defense that is obviously very strong, and we'll have tougher tests starting on Monday night away at Villa, even a Villa team that struggled very much against Brighton, but he's still Villa. And then Chelsea, the game that we mentioned, game week three at the Emirates. But Calafiori, who we expected having this kind of free-flowing role a little bit in possession, again, you know, with 9 points provided an assist. You had Ben White on the right-hand side. That was also very good. Rice in midfield, Odegaard, and then Saka with a goal. And then Solis, who is the newcomer, who heavily owned after doing well in the Community Shield, who's not just great because, again, he was heavily involved in this game, got a lucky assist, because I don't think that should have been an assist. But at least he knew the FPL rules really well, you know, because he knew this assist was coming.
And always I try to play forward and to create for my teammates. Or
good early cross there.
Counts for assist or not?
Unfortunately, I'd like to give it you, but
in the fantasy, I sure counts. So I take the 3 points. I take the 3 points.
I know Martin's got a million questions for you, but we're about to go off air, Christos. We could talk all night. And look, confirmation I'm hearing, it is a fantasy assist. So congratulations.
That's all that matters, isn't it? As long as he gets the fantasy assist. Yeah. The rest of us were buzzing. Good to know that players are also aware of it these days. They pretend they're not, but they very much are. Just a word then, because we could talk about every single team, but I think it's important at this point just to check in on the big teams, the teams we've spoken about a lot. Jules mentioned Arsenal, Villa there. We know that it's been a summer of change for Aston Villa, with a couple of potential more transfers looking likely they could go through in the next few days, Sam. It's leaving us in an interesting position in terms of not only an investment with Villa, but also the teams that are playing Villa at the moment, because we saw the points that the Brighton players got.
Yeah, it's come almost at the wrong time for us, I think, in FPL, because obviously we would ideally like to, I mean, they're a team to target right now, aren't they? Because they're not in particularly good form. They seem to be having problems, and it's Arsenal up next. And so in my head, when I was watching the Aston Villa Brighton game at the weekend, I was thinking, I need to get three Arsenal in. But then obviously you have to be mindful of the fact that then coming out the back of that, Arsenal have a tougher fixture in game week three. So you're kind of mindful of how you invest there. Plus, I would really I was impressed by Odegaard, but I was really impressed by Saka in this one. And I was thinking, oh, it'd be a really nice opportunity to go for somebody a bit different and have a bit of a differential Saka in my team if I could go there early. But the problem is I can't sell my Manchester United assets yet because they've still got a newly promoted club to play in game week two. And we had them for game week one and game week two. That's why we told Jules to invest in the double up last week, right? Because you invest for those 2 weeks and then you can look to sell. After this Ipswich game, I can see, much like Praz was saying on Friday, that there's definitely a part of me that thinks I'll just sell both of my Manchester United midfielders and instead have Saka and Palmer in those two positions, because then you can invest in the most premium assets across those clubs who I think are going to have really good seasons. Still replaces Bruno as a penalty taker with other penalty takers, particularly Cole Palmer. So I think that there will be a massive shift, particularly if we don't see a Manchester United performance in this one. There'll be a shift there, but I am looking at Arsenal against Villa and thinking just the two doesn't feel like enough. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm happy to have Solis. I'm glad he knows what a fantasy assist is. But I'm very happy to have Calafiori. He played really well as well. But I wish I had another one for this fixture, because it does feel like a really great opportunity to target a team that have started the season particularly badly.
And just quickly, obviously, it was incredibly disappointing for Man United and their fans, but we're just going to hold, aren't we, given the fixture, Jules?
Yeah, I think so. And again, I think they will have to bounce back. And there's already a bit of pressure after that defeat where they defended poorly, especially. You go to Old Trafford, it's the first home game of the season. You have to put things right. You have to show much more than what they did against Hull City. So I think it's fair, if you have any United asset, whether it's just Bruno Mbeumo, Cunha, you know, even a Shaw, a Maguire, all that kind of stuff, keep them for now. After that, like Sam just said, I think it's tricky. I think that it's away at Everton. Then there's the Manchester Derby at some point. There would be a Champions League first game at the beginning of September too. So after that, we can reassess maybe the options on United. I agree with Sam. I think the Bruno and Mbeumo for two other of that kind of price, Saka, Palmer, Rodgers, Palmer, that kind of stuff, I think makes a lot of sense, especially if United are not good again on this weekend.
Okay, then let's check in on our scores. And when we check in on our scores, I also think it's probably worth just running through our teams as we kind of ended up, because we spoke on Thursday morning, we'll have all made probably a few changes between then and the deadline. So Jules, as you got 72 points, Sam got 56, I got 52. Literally the difference between myself and Sam was the goalkeeper. That was the only difference. We both had benching headaches, though I had an even more severe one because I benched even more because I have got a slightly different looking bench at the moment. But Jules, do you want to run through your team and what got you 72 points?
Yeah, I mean, I had Lammens in goal, as I mentioned last week, which I was fuming watching that game because of the two poor goals they conceded on set pieces. So it's just the 1 point for him. Then Gvardiol did really well with that late goal for City to win it. Not so much defensively before that, but 9 points for him, 9 points for Calafiori, and the assist for Kai Havertz in that Coventry game. Robertson with 3 points. I don't know why I pick players from small teams in there, because they will get battered. You know, Spurs get battered everywhere they go, as we know. So, no, I'm kidding.
Good job, we're at home next week then.
I didn't even know where Robertson got that extra point from the 2 to the 3, but hey, well done to him. He picked up
defensive contributions for the first time ever in FPL.
Exactly.
He didn't get any last year.
I was going to say, God knows how. The midfield was very good from the Odegaard side with 11 points. A lucky goal, but I thought he was outstanding in that game and the bonus points. And Iliman Ndiaye with 9 points, who again could have had more than that because I thought he was super good and super dominant in that win for Everton. Mbeumo 2, Bruno 2, let's not go there because that's your fault, you too. And then Haaland blanking despite having some chances. Again, maybe a lack of sharpness a bit. Broby, 2 points, again, had a big chance that he squandered, but Sunderland were not very good. And I was happy that Calvert-Lewin didn't do better than Broby because I was really torn in between. And then João Pedro with 11 points, becoming 22 as the captain.
Nice. Sam, what about yours?
I actually didn't make any changes after we spoke on that Thursday morning. So that was very decisive of me, unusually. Played for Bruggen for his six-pointer, was happy with that. Calafiori, obviously, as Jules mentioned, with the nine. Van Hecht didn't hit DEFCON. He sat on nine, which was very frustrating because one more would have seen those extra 2 points. Roden, very happy with him with the six-pointer. And then Bruno Fernandes and Bomo, as we've mentioned, nothing for them. Solis and Szoboszlai with six and eight each. Really happy with the Dom Szoboszlai pick in the end, particularly taking that last-minute penalty. And then Iraola's comments afterwards, it maybe hopefully means that he's going to be taking any more penalties that they have as well. So happy with that one. João Pedro with the 11. Haaland just the 4 because he was my captain. Calvert-Lewin with 1. The bench hurt. I benched Sangare. Maybe you might argue there was a little bit of Spurs bias going on there. There possibly was. But equally, he is my 8th attacking player. So I'm not really sure who else I would have benched. Maybe Calvert-Lewin. But
that was the same as me.
Exactly, yeah, I liked the fixture better for Calvert-Lewin than I did for Sangare. So I was really torn there. But a 14-pointer sat on the bench is just painful because had I played him over Calvert-Lewin, obviously I'd have been 13 points better off. So then I'd be like 69. And then I'm closer to Jules even with a captaincy blank, which, yeah, it's disappointing. Davis with 2. And then Thomas also last minute picked up DEFCON, which is nice. So he got 3. And then obviously Kinski is my backup goalkeeper with 2. So in some ways, I wish I'd bench boosted because it would have been 21 points off the bench. But equally, I was never even close to doing it. So we are where we are. And I'm quite happy with the team. Like as far as starts go, this is a much better start than I had last year. So feeling a little bit more like I've got something to build on with this lot.
Yeah. Okay. Well, imagine what it's like benching Sangare and Brentford defender Aya and playing Kinski. Yeah, that's what I did. My team's basically the same as Sam.
That's
24 if you include Diop as well.
Aye.
Did you have a Bruggen on the bench
really
as well?
It hurts me and it's not even my bench, Kels.
No, Sam, I decided. So at the last minute, I changed around because I was stupidly so desperate to get from Shaw to Maguire. I sold Kvaardiol. Who obviously scored. I couldn't believe that when he scored that late winner. And so I saw the transfers. So my team is the same as Sam's, except I've got, I can't remember what the difference is to yours, actually. I've got Aya and Diop. Who have you got that I haven't got? I'll run through my team. I've got Kinski, Rodon, Maguire, Calafiori, Mbeumo, Fernandes, Szoboszlai, Solis, Calvert-Lewin, Haaland, Pedro. Then on my bench, Dubravka, Sangare, Aya, Diop. I opted to, because I wasn't going to bench boost, I opted to just do the 2 Spurs keepers and put the 0.5 into Aya instead, which in hindsight
was great if you'd have played him.
Yeah. But I just thought Spurs were going to score. Yeah. I wasn't confident, don't get me wrong, I wasn't confident of Kinski getting a clean sheet. I didn't quite expect it to go
that.
So in hindsight, should have maybe invested the 0.5 in a keeper and then I potentially would have bench boosted, but I just didn't want to bench boost this early. I felt like there was too much uncertainty. Like, let's be honest, we all knew Sangare was going to be quite good. We didn't know he was going to be that good and like run the game the way he did.
No. And his game is about DEFCON, to be fair. You know, for him to have that many points, I don't expect him to have, I think he will have good games and good points and he's a great, like for the value, for the money, he's great, but never like that. Even in France last season, that was not really his game. Again, I think the weakness of the opposition helped him massively to do that well.
But I think it goes back to what you said.
I'm not going to argue with that. You know,
in our attacks, we have got the same attack. You're never going to bench. We were never going to bench
really
United
hard.
Players against newly promoted sides. You're not benching the champions. You're not benching Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City. So it comes down to who do you bench? Leeds or Brentford? And Leeds, as proven, they've beaten Nottingham Forest twice in the past week, had a really good fixture as well. So,
And actually it's really hard this week as well because they play each other, Brentford and Leeds. So now we have a straight choice to make between do you go for Calvert-Lewin, who's got a home fixture and started the season really well, Leeds did, or do you go for Sangare, who, yes, he's away, but also has had a good week and had a bit of a rest.
See, I've got Calvert-Lewin and Rodon and Sangare and Aya. So it's like, which way they're playing each other and they're going to wipe out each other's points.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought of that when I picked the team, but I'm really happy with all, I'm the least happy with Calvert-Lewin, but I'm really happy with all 3 of those 4 picks in my squad. It's really hard, isn't it? And I guess it goes back to don't panic after game week 1, because I was absolutely gutted when I saw, because I didn't get to see loads of the Saturday. I saw a bit of whole Manchester United. I was vaguely following the 3 PMs and I watched Brentford Spurs and I was like, this is the worst start to the season ever. But I was like, well, actually it's not, because I am, other than Kinski, I'm on the kind of right players. I've just picked them slightly wrong and it goes back to not panicking.
I think that's exactly right. Like, it's very easy to look at a team that's got in the mid-50s and go, this has been a total disaster. I need to change everything. But actually, there's a few important things to consider here. One is you're still above average, which is important, which means you're over halfway.
I was relieved.
Two
things, only just
things. But that's fine, isn't it? And things move so fast in FPL. Like, from one day to the next. Like on Sunday, it was one of the lowest game week scores we've ever had in game week one. Only for then the Chelsea boys to turn up on Monday night and suddenly their game week score is higher because João Pedro and all of those guys return. So there's that to consider. There's also the fact that going into the first matches of the season, we don't have loads of concrete knowledge yet. Like, we're still learning about how players are playing, how new players are settling in. Even in the last week, since the last deadline, we've had a load of new signings to the league that are going to affect who plays where and how they play. So I think as long as you're on roughly the right players, like one of the things I kind of consoled myself with on Saturday night after Spurs and Brentford, because clearly I was not in a very good mood after that game, was that I have Sangare in my team. Well, he's going to be a really popular option. And in fact, he's already taken a price rise. He was one of the first players to go up in price this season. So the fact that I was already on him and had him as a 3% differential, like I take some comfort in that because I'm not having to chase that player.
Yeah.
It's one of those players that's already in, and I'm not looking at any of mine and thinking that was totally the wrong decision. Everyone looks okay to hold for this week, and that is really important heading into game week three, because if you can go into game week three with two transfers, you're in a much nicer position than if you have to spend one for game week two.
Yeah, and also as much as it's hard because you look at George and you go, oh my god, he's got 20 more points than me, but
it's a captaincy,
like you said, it can be made up quickly.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Give it 2 weeks of like banking a couple of transfers, then you can, because there's nothing, 100%. When I actually looked at massively what I wanted to do, it was maybe, I was like, maybe just, but that's reactionary off 1 week. And Jules, you said a stat before we came on that actually his XG was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like,
he had
it's
almost one-on-one with a keeper.
Yeah. So actually it is just like, there's loads of you listening that'll be in the same boat as all three of us. Some of you had a great game week. Some of you, a bit frustrated. Some of you have had an even worse game week. I think it is important not to panic. That said, there's a wild card there. If you have had a disaster, it's there to be used. And we have seen really successful FPL managers wild card in game week one or two in the past. So if you want to do that, by all means, do it. But don't panic.
Last season winner.
Yeah. Was it last season? I knew it was recently. Last season.
Yeah.
So you can.
Yeah, last season's winner, game week two.
It's just being measured about looking at it, I guess, and working it out. Anyway, as for you lot, let's talk about the FPL Pod Mini League. So I said we're still waiting for a few of you to join, but Jason Cormier is in there. He's top. He got 116 points. That's over double what we got, Sam. That's depressing, isn't it? He did play as
he did have a chip, though.
Yes.
Yeah,
Bench boost this was. Verbruggen, Emerson, Dekoypo, who actually we haven't spoken about. He was out of position. 17 points for him alone, and then Davis got two. He doesn't own Haaland or Bruno, so like Jules, he captained João Pedro. He even got a blank from Thiago and still comfortably got himself in the 100 club. Matthew Green also in the 100 club with 114 points. Sam Caldecott is third with 112. Only two of the top 20 managers, though, didn't play their bench boost in game week one. So maybe the three of us have missed a trick and should have done that. A reminder, the code is Q0HV1Q. Okay, then I just touched upon it then, transfers. It's something we often do at the end, but I don't think any of us are planning on making any. Is that right, Sam, Jules?
No.
We're all keeping patient, aren't we? Because, like I said then, Jules, you can make a transfer, but you can actually do a little bit more surgery with more information if you wait a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're right. I think Sam mentioned it a bit earlier, and you just said the word information there, that we don't really have a trend yet because it's too early in the season. You can't think that Bruno Fernandes is not going to get better at some point, or United collectively, or that Erling Haaland is not going to score his chances. And the same for that Chelsea front three that might not have as good as a game against Brighton, although I think they will. But you see what I mean? So let's wait. There's no need to panic. We said that earlier on the show. There's no need to panic. Usually you've built your team, not just for this game week one, but ideally for the first few weeks of the season. And then after that, you can always look into it. If you really feel, though, that you've got one guy wrong because, I don't know, you fancied, let's say, Igor Thiago for the sake of it, and you didn't really like the game against Spurs, not just the missed penalty, but also you never felt he was in the game, then okay, you can use that free transfer if you want and then replace that player. Same if you want Saka, if you want those kind of players, and you can do it, sure. But certainly don't take minus four right now. I would roll on the transfers and have two for game week three, where there's there's bigger games and there's probably, we will have more of an idea of who is really in form and who doesn't, is not in form, who has momentum and or not. But for now, I think it's a bit early even to use that free transfer that you have.
Yeah, a reminder, if you are new to the game, rolling transfers does mean you have an extra one for the following week and you can bank up to five. So if you're really happy with your team, great. You can kind of almost do a mini wildcard in just a few weeks' time, really. But as we said, the wildcard is also available and you get two of those this season, one in the first half, one in the second. A lot of the reason that people should either wait or might be tempted to wildcard or make big changes, Sam, is the fact that maybe they feel like they're on the wrong premiums, because we do shape our team, I think it's safe to say. We've spoken about it when structuring our team, when we were selecting them in the pre-season pods. The first thing you often do, isn't it, is you go, here's my Haaland, here's my Bruno, what else have I got left to spend? I guess that a lot of knee-jerky people might go, I went the wrong premiums, I need to rip it up and start again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we have to be really mindful of the fact that there were a lot of, maybe the, I was going to call them weird results. Maybe they are still weird results. Results that we weren't expecting. We were not expecting newly promoted Hull to come and beat Manchester United. I don't think anyone was really expecting Ipswich to beat Sunderland. I don't think anyone was really expecting Fulham to score in the way that they did against Chelsea. Like, I think there were a lot of unexpected turnouts. No one was, I certainly wasn't expecting Spurs to be as bad as they were. So all of those results, kind of when that happens in a Premier League match week, it has an impact on the game week. And it also has an impact on what you then think about your FPL team. Because obviously looking at 20 million in my two Manchester United midfielders with 2 points each is incredibly infuriating. Because I think, well, I could have gone for anyone else. I could have gone Erdegaard and had the double up of the cheap Arsenal midfielders. I'd have been better off with that. I could have gone for Morgan Rogers and had a cheaper Chelsea midfielder. I'd have been better off with that. Like, you can't help but look at the premiums, and if they don't return, judge them more heavily than you would, say, a cheaper asset. Because if one of your cheaper assets doesn't perform, you kind of go, well, I wasn't expecting too much from them because I've only spent 5.5 or 6 million on them. So yeah, I think when you have that, that's what's tempting to then throw them out. But equally, with Manchester United, we bought them for these opening 2 weeks. Like, we bought them because they started with the season with Hull and Ipswich. So to get rid of them ahead of that Ipswich game doesn't make a lot of sense. There were, as Jules mentioned at the beginning of this, there were opportunities in that game where Manchester United could and probably should have scored. And so don't necessarily panic transfer them out, because the worst thing that could happen here is that you transfer them out and then they return against Ipswich, and then you're even more frustrated because you panic sold them into a game where you would expect them to win. It's their first home fixture of the season as well in game week two. Whereas once we get out of game week two, I think a lot of us sat down and said, I don't think I'll hold both the Manchester United midfielders from game week two onwards. I think I'll look to move them on. So then you were making a choice between Bruno and Mbeumo as to which one you would keep. Now, maybe the answer, if they both blank again in game week two, going into three, might be that we lose them both. But that gives you the information to base that judgment on once we've watched what happens against Ipswich this week.
Yeah, it was interesting as well. I think Gabriel was the lowest scorer in the Arsenal defence. I didn't actually clock that at the time, but that made me feel a little bit better that we didn't actually go there. But as you said, it was a lower scoring game week one than we're used to. I think it's going to be interesting because, like, the mid-price players, Jules, are the ones where there could be a little bit of movement, and they're easier to move around, aren't they? Because, well, it's obvious they don't take up as much money. I mean, I don't know if a Saka and Palmer mid-price? They probably are, just because Bruno's so expensive. But I think that's where I'll be changing my team around in a week or two.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? You can even rotate if you want without owning both of them, players like Palmer and Saka, because they are similar price. And yes, there might be price rises and things like that. So you always have to be careful. And as you two always say, because I never do it, but keep a bit of money in the bank for that reason, for example. But it's much, you can easily do that. The thing that worries me a little bit is Bruno and United and that they kind of form. But then again, you go from Bruno down to Palmer, Saka, that's something you can do. Haaland, I'm not sure if this team is going to click with Maresca, under Maresca, when there's a lot of new signings, there's a lot of players leaving the club. And again, we need to keep an eye on that, because João Pedro right now is so close, just behind Haaland, as the most owned player in the game, which we would have never thought at the start of the season, for example. And I don't think, apart from the great years of Mo Salah, Haaland has always been the king, right? If it was not Salah, it was him, the most owned, heavily owned all the time. And it could be Pedro very soon now. So even for Haaland, let's keep an eye on him, his form, more importantly, the form of the team, sorry, at City. But yeah, I think those between, let's say, 7.5, so Rodgers, those kind of type of players, even Szoboszlai to some extent, let's say 7 to 9.5 and the Palmer prices, then I think for them, you can have a lot of fun with them through the season. If you feel that Bruno is not the answer and you keep Haaland, for example, then I think you can have a lot of fun with those players between 7 and 9.
I think one thing you have to be mindful of, sorry, Kels, is that you, with Bruno last season, he started the season at 9 million. So over the course of the campaign, he averaged 26.1 points per million you had to spend on him. If he'd have been 12, like he is this season, his points per million average would have been 19.5. So whereas last season, he was the 42nd best value for money, based on this season's pricing, he would have been 111th in the game. So I think we have to be really mindful of that, is that just because last year Bruno was incredible for us, he was a lot cheaper. And so the value that you're getting out of him was significantly more than any value you might get this. Because if he was to finish at the same point as this season, he'd have to get like 331 points, which...
It's not
going to happen. He's not going to score that. It's 313. I got them the wrong way around. He'd have to get 313 points this season in order to match the value that he was last season. That won't happen. So every year we have to look for the value players. And this season it might be the Palmers and the Sakas that offer us that value rather than Bruno. And we have to kind of detach what we learned last season a bit from what we're going to learn from this season.
I was so desperate for Mbeumo to do something last week, because then when we do come out of this Hull and Ipswich fixture, it would feel easy to kind of keep coverage in that Man United attack and lose that 12.5, because it's just so much money, isn't it? Let's talk about some of the other teams that impressed them. We've spoken about Arsenal. We probably haven't spoken about, and I know we've said we haven't got enough information yet, it's only one game, but I spent a lot of that game going, so is it the Arsenal double up and one attacker? Is it the Arsenal... double attack and one defender? And it is a hard game to judge, because as you said, Jules, Coventry will be disappointed with the way they started the season. What are we thinking? Are the early signs? Because you really got Odegaard in my head after last week's pod, and watching that, I was like, a 6.5, Odegaard's going to, if he keeps performing like that, his price is going to go up for one, and actually he's going to be great value. So maybe it's the double Arsenal attack and one defender, which goes away from everything we've learned about Arsenal in the last few years.
Yeah, but I think they might play differently a bit to last season, in that kind of defensive mindset mold, if you want, and having a bit more of a free-flowing game, if you want. So again, let's see what happens on Monday night against Villa at Villa Park. We can invest on them and treble up and get a third one. So you could have Odegaard, Solis, which is still cheaper than having Saka there, and then your defender, whether that's Calafiori, Mosquera, who are, as we said, same price. You could go for Saka now if you want, because I think his form is just going to go better and better and stronger, because I don't even think he's fully fit and didn't actually play the whole 90 minutes in this game for that reason. So that's a possibility as well. But I would wait a little bit for the treble up for Arsenal, just for that Villa and the Chelsea game. And then we will know a bit more about them after those two games, I think.
Okay, so we're going to hold fire on that. We've spoken about Chelsea and potentially holding fire there, but maybe we'll double up on the attack. I don't think we're too keen on any of the defence at the moment. Leeds, there was a lot of chat about Leeds in pre-season, and I was worried I was kind of getting brought into a trap by bringing Rodon in, Sam. But I mean, they've had a brilliant start to the season, haven't they? And I'm a very happy Joe Rodon owner.
Absolutely. And I think that's the beauty almost of the Leeds defence, is that there's so many different ways that you can invest in it and at different prices. So obviously game week one went well for them against Forest, and as you mentioned, they've beat them twice in the last week now. But then the games that follow on from that is Brentford obviously up next, and then it's Brighton, Newcastle, Palace before Arsenal in six. Now I would argue that actually you could play your Leeds defenders in most of those fixtures. Maybe you wouldn't want to play them against Brentford given how well they scored on Saturday evening, but otherwise you can go there. We've got Rodon as an option, as a cheap option if you want. You've got Bajol last year, he was fantastic for us and was good again in game week one. Justin was great in this one as well. Maharamovic, he was also really good. Plus you've also got the goalkeeper if you have a goalkeeper shaped issue and you've gone off whoever it is that you've got already. Then Trafford could be a really nice option as well. All the different price ranges as well, so easy to swap from anybody across to a Leeds defender. And it makes a lot of sense given how well they've started the season. I think we might see the very best of Leeds this year. So I'm really keen to be, I'm doubled up on them. At one point during that game while I was watching them, I was thinking, do I need to increase my investment in Leeds? Should I have gone for an Anton Stach or somebody like that in midfield? Now, maybe the treble up is a bit too keen, but I'm certainly happy to be doubled up, even if Calvert-Lewin disappointed.
Jules, have you got any Leeds players?
No, I don't. I like Marimovic, to be fair. And everything you both said makes a lot of sense. It was just more Calvert-Lewin between him and Brobby. And again, I thought that Sunderland fixture against Ipswich was good. And that's why I wanted Brobby. And again, I think he could have done probably a bit better. And then it's Fulham at home for Sunderland this weekend, which I think Fulham will give you chances. It will give you goals because they will play in a way that you will get chances against them. So that's the only reason why. But I like Leeds and the fixtures, Brentford at home, Brighton away. Okay, maybe a little bit tricky than East Newcastle. They will have Arsenal and United back to back at some point. So just keep looking at the fixtures as well. But yeah, I think one lead defender makes a lot of sense.
Okay, and Brighton fans will be screaming, saying, we had a massive win, why are you not talking about us? So we're going to talk about them before we move on to differential of the week. The fixtures aren't great now, and that kind of put me off a little bit. I had Gross in a lot of my drafts, but he didn't make it in the end, so I went for Sangare, and I'm pretty happy about that. I mean, if you are a Gross owner, you'll be very frustrated. I was very relieved not watching that game, saw the scoreline and no returns for him. If you are a Gross owner, Sam, do you panic?
No, I don't think you panic. I mean, look, he's your cheap budget midfielder, isn't he? Would I have preferred a Sangare or even a Gomez who's 0.5 cheaper? Yeah, absolutely. But it's just one game week. It's just one result, right? So I don't think you can we shouldn't just go, well, Pascal Gross is terrible and we need to take him out in FPL. That's not the case. I think you do have to consider those around because, like you said, I didn't invest in Brighton apart from the goalkeeper because I wasn't entirely sure I liked the opening round of fixtures. Like Villa, I was expecting them to not be great given what we've seen so far this summer, but I wasn't absolutely certain that they wouldn't do something in this one. And so just for Bruggen felt enough. But now I'm looking at that thinking, well, they've absolutely, well, it was a great result, wasn't it? And whether that says more about Brighton or Villa remains to be seen. And I think we'll find out more about that in the coming weeks. But obviously the Brighton fixtures now, they are very mixed. As you say, it's Chelsea away up next before Leeds, who we've just been saying have been really good. There's a nice fixture in there against Coventry. But then after that is Arsenal. So they aren't the very best of fixtures. I think you give him another week for sure. If you then need money, then going down to a Gomez. Armstrong was good at Everton. He's 0.5 cheap. You could go there. If you want to clear it so that you're not like you and I, Kels, and particularly if you've already played your bench boost, you could drop down to Slater at Hull, who's 4.5. And that gives you an easy bench option in the attacking players every week, rather than you and I having to negotiate between Calvert-Lewin and Sangare or somebody else every week where you're inevitably going to get it wrong. All of the Brentford boys, they all impress. So Sangari's gone up 0.1, so you got to pay an extra 0.1 for him now. But Jensen and Lewis Potter both looking good, same price. Jan out, 0.5 cheaper. Lots of other options, but I wouldn't do anything just yet. Let's give him another week or so and see where we are.
Okay, differential of the week then. The first one, and the trend continues. I mean, you both got a return, but Sam, you got double, your player got double the points of Jules. As you went for Gakpo, you got 12 points with a goal, 2 Defcon, 3 bonus. Jules got Havertz, 6 points, because of course he scored against Coventry. Sam, that does mean you get to go first.
I've really struggled actually picking one this week because the fixtures are really mixed for picking differentials. Like all the teams that I really fancied have got, all their players have gone over 10% already because they're popular picks because they've got early nice run of fixtures. So in the end, I've settled on Gonzalo Garcia from Fulham. I wasn't very impressed by Sunderland in game week one. I wasn't hugely impressed by Fulham either against Chelsea, but they did score goals against that Chelsea defence. He's currently going to cost you 6 million. He's owned by 3.1% of the game. And he scored on his Premier League debut against Chelsea on Monday night. He also had 3 shots in that game, which only Haaland with 5, Isak, Wissa and João Pedro had more than with 4 each. And Sunderland did struggle. So I wonder whether we could see a decent return out of Fulham, even if they don't win the game. I do think that they'll score, and he seems to be involved in all the good stuff that they're doing. So I'm going to go with Garcia.
Jules?
I went with Maxime Decoper at Brighton again to come back on the theme of the show for me, that kind of form and the momentum. He was outstanding, obviously, against Villa with the goal and the assist. 17 points last week, which was the highest in the in the whole game. His expected goals is 1.47. He was everywhere, played higher up than usually. I mean, I think he can play anywhere, really, but he was more of a left back or left wing back. This time plays as a left winger. He went up in price already. He's 4.6 when he was 4.5. But he's still only owned by 6.8% of the managers. So I think it's Chelsea away, which obviously is tough. But I think what we saw from Chelsea against Fulham in this Xabi Alonso system is that they will attack, but they will also give you chances and be quite open. So defensively, especially with Robert Sanchez in goal, if he continues, because I expect him to be dropped and Mike Penders to start this game in goal for Chelsea. But I think there will be chances for Brighton and the Kuiper. We could have gone for Hinchelwood as well if you wanted, because I think Hutzler has been has made a really good player in there, but the Kuiper is my pick for this week.
Okay, so we're not making any transfers. I think we've all agreed on that. Who's the best captain? I'm on Bruno, but part of me thinks, don't be burned, let's go for Pedro. So I could go for Pedro. George, you going for Pedro again?
It's him or Bruno at home against Ipswich. I'm thinking like, come on, I can't. This is too good not to go there, you know?
Okay, so Jules will end up on Bruno. Sam?
So I think Arsenal have got the best fixture of the week, which means I've only got Solis or Calafiori. So there's something about the captain in a 6.5 million midfielder that feels really wrong. If I had Saka or if Solis was priced at 9 million, I think I'd have thrown the armband on him. But because he's cheap, I kind of go, well, I've spent all this money on Bruno, so surely I should captain him. I also quite like Haaland, but it's Friday night. I hate captaining in the early game. It's going to ruin my whole weekend and I'm on holiday. It's going to ruin my whole holiday if that goes wrong, isn't it? So better off to wait. Like, and also Arsenal play on Monday night just before I fly home. Like, maybe that's the better option. I don't know, basically, is what I'm saying. I'm Bruno or Solis. It's one or the other.
Okay, so not even considering Pedro. Anyone planning to play a chip? No, Bench Boost 2 will probably be quite popular, won't it, Sam? That was a lot of people set up their teams for that.
Yeah, if you had a lot of Coventry in your team, a lot of people were going high on Coventry for a Bench Boost. Having said that, after Hull's performance in game week one, if you've got double Coventry defence, I'm not sure I'm that hot on that anymore, to be honest. But I think if you have set up your team for the Bench Boost, then you probably play it anyway, because then you can carry on with your strategy rather than kind of just throw it out. But I do think that Hull will score against Coventry. So it might be a bit of a disappointing week if you've doubled up on their defence.
Okay, that's where we're going to leave it then. A reminder, the Fantasy Show's back on Friday. Harry and Holly are in the studio with me. Your deadline is 6:30 p.m., 90 minutes ahead of Crystal Palace versus Manchester City. So good luck, get your transfers done and don't panic. See you next week.